Hi, everyone. It's wonderful to see you all this morning. What an amazing worship session. That last song, "Worthy is the one who's the Lamb who was slain, seated on the throne. There's no one like the Lord." Standing there, I thought, like, what use is this? What can I say? We could repeat that for an hour, and it's everything. It's absolutely everything. So I just want to praise God for being who He is, and just how wonderful He is. Usually, throughout my life, when I wanted to talk to people or got the chance to talk to people, I found it pretty easy. It's something that came naturally, but this time is completely, completely different. I'm not standing here because I'm special. I'm not standing here because I'm a good speaker. I'm not standing here because I have anything of worth to share with you from myself. There's absolutely nothing in me that is of any worth to you. I'm standing here today because of who God is. Because He loves me so much that He took the time to write my story, to write this part of my season, so I could stand here today and share it with you. So no matter how afraid I am of this, no matter how silly or simple the words may seem, God will take it and make something of it. He will make it something of worth like only He can. So all I have for you today is scripture and a completely honest testimony. When I started writing this message, I got in my head a little bit and I tried my absolute best to take a piece of scripture that Claude explained exceptionally well to me and break it down into little pieces so I can come explain it to you as through him, through me. But no matter how many times I tried to write it, no matter how many times I started over and over again, I just kept banging my head against that writing wall, and something was completely, completely off. And I asked God about this. I asked him, what's wrong? Why isn't this happening? And what he gave me was a beautiful, beautiful piece of truth. What he gave me in my heart was, I made you as you are. You are exactly where I planned for you to be right now. And all you have is that story. So the title of today's testimony, rather than message, is the same title that my life has had in the past season. It's called Taking Off the Mask Because Jesus Loved Me. Now, this might sound a bit cliche, but I'm going to start all the way at the back at my childhood. And many of you have heard the first part of this, but I feel it put on my heart to share this again. Firstly, because not everyone has heard it. But secondly, because your story and my story changes. The story it was back then that I told you is not the story that it is now. God keeps using it and changing it and molding it into something new. So God blessed me with an incredible childhood. He gave me an incredible family who've always been longing and chasing after Him, who taught me about God as well as they could, who really pushed me and created a space for me to get to know God. And despite that, in my early 20s, I still fell off completely. I got addicted to a variety of really terrible drugs, and I was right on my way to death. But you see, God and how great He is, He already had a plan. So that family He gave me never gave up on me. They loved me so well and showed me so much of Him, even though I hurt them so incredibly deeply, so many times, and in so many different ways. Now, that's also the time in my life that I met Susie. So right in the middle of this mess, he sent me the woman I'd fall in love with and spend the rest of my life with. So from there, me and Susie went on an adventure. And we had a wonderful time and experienced wonderful things. And we'll look back at this later. But the hand of God in that, knowing that even though I thought the plan for my life was different, he changed my circumstances and took me to a new place. And we'll look at that reason later when we look back at the whole story. So after we had our adventures, he gave our family a chance to move to Montiki together. So after learning about farming the hard way for a while, we started selling vegetables at the Montiki market. And at the market was the first place where we met Shiva and Charlene in Cranston. And then from there, we met a friend in Montiki and wanted to do business with him. And he was really motivated to get to know everyone in Montiki. And it's through him that we met Jono, Merrill, and Luke. A while after that, he sent Vian across our path to do some soil samples on the farm. And luckily, Vian was brave and obedient enough to listen to the Holy Spirit when he said, invite these people to church. Now, correct me if I remember wrong, but I don't think I showed up the first time. but he had the heart to keep that door open for us, and I thank you for that. And that's when we met all of you lovely people. Oh, thank you, Claude. So during this time, God moving us here, God moving us into a family here, there were still these old habits that had a hold over me. Old habits from my previous life, if I can call it that way, that just took a hold of me. Now, they seem pretty harmless, right? So at that time, I was smoking, and I was smoking a lot. And it seemed so harmless to me because comparing it to these terrible, terrible things I'd used and done, things that would make you afraid of me, compared to that, what is smoking really? And sure enough, after a while, that mindset started to change. After worshiping and chasing after Jesus with all you crazy Christians, the Holy Spirit started to speak, and I started to hear him more clearly. And what he told me was, Jesus wants to help you with this. He wants to help you with this. I wish I could say that in that moment, I fell on my knees, I gave it all to Jesus, and he took the burden away from me immediately. But that's not my story. Not because he couldn't, or he didn't want to, because I spent the same amount of time fighting the sin on my own as I did fighting him on it. So even though I was being stubborn, Jesus still found a way, and that just says so much about him. Even though I was fighting back against him, even though I was pushing back against him, because my heart was, through grace, in the right place, he still found me in that. He still found a way. And the season he used to do this was the season that we found out Susie was pregnant with Philip. And in this season, something clicked over in my mind. Now there's a timer on your healing. Now you gotta get this done. Surely you need to be shiny and presentable and perfect for your baby boy. Now that was an incredibly hard season, more so for my wife than for me. But I had this feeling of wanting to be a good father and pushing towards it. And she was so gracious in that time. And sure enough, after a while, I was free from it. I had almost felt no temptation, no thoughts of it. It was just gone. And I praised God for it. But the posture I had was coming to Jesus with the words, Thank you for fixing me, Jesus. Look at my crown. I'm pretty now. I'm usable. Let's go build your kingdom. I'm fixed now. And that was one of the biggest mistakes I've ever made. So for the next while, even in that mindset, I felt on fire for Jesus. He blessed me with so much revelation, so much truth, so many wonderful people speaking into my life, so many beautiful gifts that I could use. And it was a wonderful season. He helped me to love people. He helped me to encourage people through prayer and to touch the lives of those he loves. And honestly, it felt like spring. Everything was growing. Everything was beautiful. And I just thought, wow, I'd love to stay here for the rest of my life. This is incredible. It was during this season that I became close to my good friend Luke, a friend that was willing to let Jesus work on me through him, a friend that loved me well. God sent me the exact person I needed, the exact posture, the exact personality I needed to really help me in that moment. But I did not accept the love he wanted to give to me. Not really. My pride and my love for the things of this world, my hidden pride, was still too much to really accept what God wanted to give me through him. So before long, the walls of this new house, this shiny me, crumbled again. So the story picks up a few months ago, and once again, some of you have heard this, but once again, the story has changed. I stood in front of you and told you all about a miracle, an incredible miracle where God saved my life. So just to recap, I was working that day and I got this temptation to go and smoke, and I did. I did not take my thoughts captive. I wanted it more than I wanted Jesus. I wanted it more than I wanted to be okay with God. And sure enough, I spent that morning smoking. And when I got to the next place I was working at, I was working on this long aluminium pole with equipment at the top I needed to get to. And as I was working on it, I kind of lost my footing and it fell over, and I grabbed it and I felt it stopped. And I looked up and it was laying right across three-phase power lines while I was holding it. And I heard the pumps connected to the power running. I heard the electricity going past the place I was touching it and working on this side. But before that happened, Jesus gave me a chance. I heard a whisper, "Choose me, choose me, choose me." That was the first miracle of that day. Not saving my life, giving me the chance to choose him, giving me the grace and the courage to do so. And he spared my life that day. What an incredible, incredible miracle. What an incredible miracle. And surely, after witnessing such an incredibly great feat of God, I would be done with this. I would be clean and shiny now. I thought so too. But a while after that, I fell again. The same old habit. This time I found myself walking in a citrus orchard after starting it again. And I had this vape in my hand, and after ignoring the Holy Spirit for a long time, finally it broke through. And I started to feel remorse, and I wanted to turn to God. And I asked him, "God, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? I know in my heart of hearts of hearts, there's something there that tells me I want to love you. I want to be good. I want to be used. I want to be yours. So what is wrong with me?" And I got nothing. Absolute silence. And that's when the devil came in to fill that empty space for my lack of patience, telling me, "This is why you're not hearing him. This is why you're not hearing him, because there is something wrong with you. because you are worthless. This is why he's turned away from you and he won't speak to you again. And in that place of loneliness, in that place of feeling so far from God, I smoked again just to fill that painful void. And that's when he spoke to me. That's when he put something on my heart that'll stay with me for the rest of my life. As I was walking and I took a big drag of the vape and I puffed out the smoke and saw it rising, he said, "Behold your God." And that just cut me in half. That ruined me absolutely. I couldn't even think straight after that. So surely, after hearing something so heavy from God, this idea of I see you where you are, surely after hearing that, I would turn away from this sin and be clean and shining. I thought so too. So it felt like a wrestling match, and now no matter how hard I fought, no matter how hard I wrestled with this thing, no matter how many times I decided, I would just end up at the same place again every single time, stuck in this horrible place of darkness. One of these times I was wrestling, I got so excited about it. I thought, like, this time, now I'm going to do this. This time, not again, God, I've got this. And that's the moment that Luke reached out to me. So he called me and asked me how it was going, which I appreciate, buddy. And I remember pulling to the side of the road, and the conversation kind of went like the final scene out of Braveheart, like just before the battle. I felt so pumped up, and I told him, "Never again, Luke. I'm drawing the line in the sand right here. Like, I would rather die than betray God again." Sure enough, after a while, I was right back there, sending up a puff of smoke to a God I allowed to rule in my heart. Now, that's one of the moments that really caught me. I mean, making this declaration to a friend, making this declaration to God, saying, "Never again, never again," and being back in it. That was the moment where I really started losing hope, where it really started tearing me down. Now, shortly after that, God brought something else into my life, which I'm very grateful for, because right after feeling this disappointment, feeling this feeling of failure, I started to drift away because of shame. I started spending less time with God in the mornings until that turned to no time with God in the mornings. I started drifting away from God. I started drifting away from my fellow believers. I went to church. I enjoyed worship for me. I went to community, but I felt like an imposter. So I kept on my mask. Everything is okay. Everything will be fine. It's just a matter of time. I'll handle this in private with God. Shortly after that, one of our neighbors got sick. So he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, unfortunately, and he died a few days later. He had this much time. And the voice that came into my head after that was, "How dare you? You have a family, a wife, and a child, and a future. You are killing yourself. You are killing yourself. You're robbing that boy of a father. How dare you?" Surely this would be enough to make me turn away from this sin and be shiny and clean. I thought so too. But sure enough, before long, there I was, sending a puff of smoke up to a false god. My my time with God started getting less, even more, less and less and less, because that's what the devil does. That's what the enemy does. He takes that shame. He takes that shame and he puts it right between you and God, right between you and God's people. And that eats away at your belief in God. It took me away from my wife. For the first time in my life, I hid something from Susie because of shame. From a beautiful daughter of God who'd been with me through a decade and seen me at my absolute worst, and she'd never turned her back to me. She'd reflected Jesus to me every single time, and I kept it from her because of shame. I kept it from my family, who'd given me no cause to think I couldn't run to them with anything. I kept it from so many of you because I thought I'd handle this on my own, and I was afraid of what you might think. I was afraid of how bad I really was. So this place I was at, it felt like death. And to be quite honest, I think it is. It is absolute death. Once again thinking, everything is fine, everything's okay, everything will be fine. And that just started to fade away, and I thank God for that. So that's when the moment came when I broke completely. So I was sitting in the car looking at the mountains, somewhere where I've always seen God. Always, always. I always felt that's a picture he made for me. When I see the mountains, I see him dragging his fingers through it as he created them. And it brings tears and joy and love to my heart. And I sat staring at those mountains, and there was nothing. Not a single feeling in my heart. And that's when I broke. In all my experiences with addiction and pain and life in general, I've never felt something more lonely, more painful, more deep than that moment of looking at those mountains, looking to where I thought God was and seeing nothing. So I cried out in desperation. I cried out, Lord Jesus, just please help me. Help me. I'm dying. Just save me. Just save me. Just help me. And the wonderful thing is he did. He showed up in that instant. He knew I was breaking. He knew I didn't have anything else to hold on to. And he showed up in that very moment. And I broke down in tears. And I just kept crying and crying and saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're wonderful. You are so wonderful. Because that's who he is. He's a rock. He's faithful. He's never been late for anything. If you call on him, he'll show up. He will break this world to pieces for you because he loves you. After feeling him for the first time in a long time again, he put on my heart to go speak to Claude as not because I needed Claude necessarily, but because of obedience to him, of this has been in the darkness long enough, now go. And I asked him for confirmation like 4 times and he gave it 4 times, and I went to Claude and I told him about this situation and that I'd fallen again, and I'm so grateful for what God put in his heart to share with me that day, about 1 John 1, about walking in the light and about Jesus and God being the light and the truth. So I set out and thought, okay, I'm bringing this into the light because I have nothing else left. I have nothing. So after delaying it for even a few more days because I thought I was protecting Susie, God finally gave me the courage to talk to her about it. And then he finally gave me the courage to talk to my sister and my parents about it. And that was a weight off, a big weight off of my shoulders. So that brings us to this moment right here where I'm standing in front of you, where I'm taking off the mask and telling you that this is me, and I'm so grateful for God that you all get to meet me today without a mask, as God intended. So now I want us to take a look back at the story I just told, because for me personally, when I'm in it and God's busy with me, I am completely blind. I can see almost nothing. And then looking back, I can see his hand moving right on through it, just proving once again that he is on time, faithful, loving, and good always. So when I was addicted to the hard drugs, I was on my way to the grave, but God had already put a plan in place, already put family in place that would love me so well despite the hurt they were feeling, that would keep praying for me and hold on. He put my wife into my life, someone I could walk the road with, someone to point me to him when things got heavy, someone that could show me forgiveness like Jesus does over and over and over. He had that part sorted. He was so far ahead of the devil, I can't even explain it. When he helped me and Susie to leave, to go on what we thought was a grand adventure of our own choosing, what God did was take me out of my circumstances, because he knew in that moment of my life, staying there, I would have no chance to break free. I would not want to break free. The temptation would be too much for me. So what I also want to share with you today is the absolute power of Scripture being brought in time in the Bible, but also through fellow believers who share it with you and speak into your life. So if you could put up for me 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, please. So this is speaking to the part where Jesus took me out of my circumstances, changed my life completely, threw it on its head because he loves me so much. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. Now, in that season of my life, God moved me because he knew I would not be able to stand. I would not be able to turn to him, which is quite an interesting thought if you think about, if you're going through a hard time, if I'm going through a hard time now and he's not moving me, what that says. So when we moved to Montague and met Shiva, Charlene, Cranston, Merrill, Luke, and Jono, to name a few, God was placing us in a position between people, in a family, who could help work on us, who could support us, who could touch our lives. And the scripture that stood out for me for that one was Colossians 1, verse 16 to 17. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created in him, through him, and for him. And verse 17 continues, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And that was just such a beautiful, I'm sure there's deeper doctrine in that I'm not even aware of, but what he touched my heart with was just, he's in control, he's got this, he's already busy. Everything's as it should be. Don't panic. When we found out Philip was created, I felt there was a timer on my healing. Thought I needed to be clean and usable for God. And I fell again. Looking back, how could I have not fallen? Because I was leaning on my own strength. I put a timer on it and I thought, now is the time. Now I have the motivation to do this. Of course I fell flat on my face. Of course I fell into sin. I leaned so much on myself, and the big problem there was I had this complete misunderstanding of who Jesus is and how the basics of our Christianity, of our religion works. I was set out to not only please my son and my wife and my family, I set out to please God. If you could please put on Romans 3 verse 21 to 24, and you all can turn there. Everyone good? Okay. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith and in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that just brought it home for me. That scripture started to open my eyes in a sense about no matter what God overcomes for me, no matter where he takes me, until the day I go home with him, I will always fall short of the glory of God without Jesus. Just another confirmation for that, if you can put on Ephesians 2, verse 8 to 10, and you can turn there if you'd like, it will be on the board. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And that just absolutely blew me away. Coming from this place of thinking, my works, my effort, my good things before God. And it just started to tick off. God wants those things for you, but it is the fruit. It is the fruit of what he does. It's not by your own hand. So when God saved my life through a miracle that I told you about, I hesitated to testify. It took me quite a few days to tell Susie about it. Same thing, same shame that I had. Even when I saw this absolute miracle, even when I repented before God and he saved me, I still felt too ashamed, so ashamed that I wouldn't share what he did because I didn't want to share what I did. If you can put up Psalm 103, verse 8 to 12, please. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is the steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And that is, that's the miracle in itself. And that's what started making me ask the question, what touched my heart with it. If God says he removes my sin as far as the east is from the west, places that never touch, then why am I afraid to tell you about it? If I truly believe that, if I truly believe they're gone, why do I have shame? I'm not saying that your actions are the important thing. It comes from a place of belief, but your actions do show your beliefs. And my actions of hiding in the darkness showed a belief or disbelief that God removes my sin as far as the east is from the west. In that, I am making him a liar. You have another one after that, right? Psalm 103, verse 12 still goes, right? Sorry? We can stop it there. I'll come back to that one. Thank you. As I was in that moment where I exhaled and saw the big puff of smoke and heard, "Behold your God," I missed the point of what God was saying again, because I did not understand Jesus. In that moment, hearing that, I had the fear of God completely. But having the fear of God without understanding Jesus is a horrible place to be. And having that fear without Jesus, that was what caused me to stumble again. Because having that fear and not understanding Jesus, not bringing Jesus into it, means I'm standing in front of God and saying, "Judge me." And you will lose that. I will lose that every single time. It's almost I got this feeling of I spent so much time running after the presence of God. And I almost felt, looking back, that Jesus was running behind me, saying, "I'm right here, come to me first. Just, I'm here for you. I'll take you to God. Don't go on your own." And I was listening to a sermon by Charles Spurgeon, a reading of his sermons. And this is not scripture, but there was a quote in there that leapt out to me in my heart, which just made me feel, wow, this says a lot about Jesus. Hello, Philip. So we don't have it up there, but I'll read it to you. It's just a beautiful reminder of who Jesus is to me. "His hand no thunder bears, no terror clothes his brow. Now no bolts to drive your guilty souls to fiercer flames below." And that was just such a beautiful reminder to me, is I so easily forget that Jesus wants to save me more than anything else. When I drew the line in the sand, boasting about it to Luke, I was drawing the line. I was trying to be the hero. And what's interesting about that specific time where I got so pumped up and I was ready to be the hero, that is the quickest I've smoked again. My line didn't hold, and it never will. And the answer to why that is so is because my line was addressing the problem, not addressing the problem. My line was addressing the fruit. It wasn't addressing the root of where this coming is coming from. The devil distracted me with what's busy up here, what's busy in front of my face, and that thing inside me that was keeping me held was hiding away in the darkness, laughing. So all I was doing by drawing this line was covering a crack on the wall. And there's a beautiful scripture that Claude showed me that addresses that. So Ezekiel 13, verse 13. Oh, you got it up. Well done. "Therefore, thus says the Lord, I will make a stormy wind break out in my wrath, and there shall be a deluge of rain in my anger, and great hailstones in wrath to make a full end. And I will break down the wall that you have smeared with whitewash, and bring it down to the ground, so that its foundation would be laid bare. When it falls, you shall perish in the midst of it, and you shall know that I am the Lord. And that's what he did with that. I built my walls with all my strength, and he brought that house down on me, because it was the only way he could show me he is the Lord, and I am nothing. When our neighbor sadly died, I thought I had the motivation to stop, but it failed because once again, my motivation was because of fear. This time not fear of God, this time fear of disappointing people. Once again, without Jesus. Fear of not being the hero. So this became clear. Once again, Claude helped me with this one too, or God helped him to open my eyes, and I praise God for that. We talked about the season that I'm struggling with this and how long it was. And we talked about, okay, it's been a few weeks or it's been a few months now, just rearing its head and keeping coming back and coming back. And then what he told me was really interesting. He told me that if I really look at the root of this, when was the first time I started with drugs? This thing has been hiding in me for a decade. I think I've been fighting for a few weeks. It's been hiding there for a decade. And the only reason that things survives is because it's hiding. It's hiding. And I'm not saying I have everything sorted now, but it's bringing it into the light, because when God's light finally shines on that thing, poor little thing. So that was an important truth to hear, because that was kind of set into motion that all the lies I believe started just falling one by one, and I'm sure there are many more. There's nothing that my flesh would love more than to be standing in front of you all today and telling you, me and God have overcome this. I'm done with this. The problem is completely sorted and far away from me. There's nothing more I would want to say that like that to in front of my beautiful boy. But what God put on my heart, and I'm grateful for that, is I'd rather have him see a father who, through the strength that God gives him, is willing to say, I'm not okay. I'm in the middle of this mess. I'm in the middle of this mess, and I need God's help. And I need God's help through you. If he puts me on your heart, ask me. Ask me, how's it going for this? With this, keep me accountable, because I don't have this on my own. I don't. I'd love to tell you that it's over, but this testimony is about something else, and it's about something so much more beautiful that the devil wants to hide from you. I, and I'm sure all of you, love it to see someone standing and telling about a miracle of how the victory is passed. But how great is the miracle that I'm in the mess and God is still here. He's walking with me, and he'll be walking with me till the day I die. That is the miracle. That is the beauty of Jesus. So when that time comes, that God has taken this away from me, that he's overcome this for me, through me, when that time comes, I pray he'll give me a heart to shout it from the rooftops. But even more, I pray that in that moment, He'll help me tell you about the miracle of the next thing he's working on. I hear so many worship songs that contain the words, I give you everything. And it's something that's always beautiful to me, and I sing it with all of my chest, I give you everything. And only recently the question has been put on my heart, what is everything? And what God showed me was I was living a life of thinking everything meant that I had to sort out every single part of my life so that I could live in a way good enough for him in every single part of my life, in every relationship. But once again, those were my actions, not the fruit of his actions. And they kept on falling down. What he showed me about what is giving him everything is that he wants me to take off the mask. That is everything. To come before him and say, God, here I am. Jesus, here I am. I have nothing. I am an absolute mess. I have no strength left. I have no plans. I have no ideas. I have no solutions. This is me without a mask, and it's in that beautiful place where, as Vian said, you'll hear Jesus whisper, that is all I've ever wanted. That is more than enough for me. I can take that and make it something beautiful. And it's in that place, like Johan said as well, that's bringing all of your heart, all of your soul, all of everything you have to him. It doesn't just mean your intentions, it means your messiness as well. That thing which you think is so incredibly complicated that there's no way it'll ever get solved, it's not complicated to him. It's easy for him. So that's all I have on my heart for you today. All I have for you is Jesus, and he's ready for you. He's so incredibly ready for you. You don't have to bring your solutions to him. You don't have to bring your plans to him. Bring your brokenness, because he will take care of you. He'll take you in his hands, and you'll feel alive for the first time in a long time. I'd just like to pray for us as we close this testimony. Father, I thank you so incredibly much for who you are. Thank you for caring enough to stick with me, to stick with me through all the ugliness, through all the bitterness, through all of my pride and stubbornness, through all of my faults. Jesus, thank you for what you did on that cross. Thank you for opening my eyes to it. I ask that you do so even more. I ask that you will help every single one of us to know the true you. Even if that's all we ever do, God, even if that's all we ever learn. The truth about Jesus. And for whoever in this building, myself included, is struggling with anything, God, any addiction, any unforgiveness, any pain that they can't let go of, I ask that you break that down in the name of Jesus, because you are a mighty God. That is the promise you make, and that is the reason why through this suffering, through this pain, through all of this falling, I can look up and say, I am full of joy. I am full of hope because my God made me a promise. My God made me a promise, and he will show up every single time. We praise you for that, God. May your name be raised above all names. May you get the glory you deserve, God. We love you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. Amen.